Monday, July 20th. Roll call, Councilmember Hartman.
Here.
Councilmember Teese.
Here.
Councilmember Stacy. Councilmember Otto is absent. Mayor Evans is here as well. Looking, also city staff, looking for an approval of the agenda.
I'll move to approve.
I'll second.
Motion made by Teese, seconded by Hartman. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? On to 3.1, Finance Ways and Means Meeting of June 15th, 2026. Looking for an approval.
I'll move on the minutes.
I'll second.
Motion made and by Hartman, seconded by Stacy. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. On to 4.1, Financial Management Plan. Ms. Jurek.
Greetings, Mayor and Council. So today we have April Miller is behind the computer, and Liz Diaz. Liz, you may have recognized, she's been here before. She's been our financial consultant for years. It's their beginning part of their succession planning. So they're both here today to talk about our 2026 financial management plan. Remember, this is a comprehensive, so it looks at all the city finances except sewer and water. It's just the general fund right now. And there's bond funds and those type of things, but it does not look at the sewer and water. That'll come at a different time. And so this is our 10-year plan where we look at, this is a tool we use all the time. They will talk about what goes into it. If you have questions, please ask. This is meant as an overview for you as council making the broader decisions. Is it helps plan for timing, when things should be done, what needs to be done on our list. And we are constantly evaluating. This is a living sheet. So as we come up, I'm like, we need to do this or we need to pivot here or there. This is what we use to find out the impacts of what that will mean to our residents and our businesses. So this is a huge tool that we use all year round, especially when it comes to budgeting. And usually at budget time, then when we're talking about it, I'll say, and this is where we looked on our financial management plan, and this is how close we are to where we had planned. So with that, I'll start off with April.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay, perfect. All right. Well, thank you for the introduction, Amy. Just to reiterate what Amy said, we're here to review the update to the annual financial management plan. In today's presentation, I'll do a brief overview about what the financial management plan is. I'll talk about the funds included in the financial management plan, some key assumptions that get baked into the plan for the future financial projections, as well as staff had asked Ellers to prepare three different capital scenarios for council to review and give input on. So towards the end of the presentation, we'll review those three scenarios in more detail. All right, so let's talk about what a financial management plan is. It's a long-range financial tool that looks at all your property tax-supported funds, whether through a direct levy or a transfer in from a fund that's receiving a levy. It integrates your current budget. We make some projections off your current budget to determine future operating costs. It also integrates your current debt and any future planned debt, your capital improvement plan, tax-based changes due to growth or just standard inflationary tax-based changes, as well as council direction and action. So once we put all of those inputs into the model, the result is a comprehensive planning tool, as Amy mentioned, that helps council members make decisions on what-if scenarios like we'll be doing today with our three different scenarios, as well as maps out a plan for council to achieve their capital and operational goals. So, like I said, the FMP incorporates your tax-supported funds. Specifically, we took a look at the general fund, your park dedication fund, HRA and EDA funds, your capital improvement fund, and a handful of debt service funds. And when we're putting together our financial projections, we do make some assumptions for years 2027 through 2036, right? So we're including inflationary assumptions of 1% increase annually in non-tax revenue growth, a 1% increase in your annual tax base growth, 1% interest earnings, We're assuming a 3% increase in expense growth and a 4% increase annually in your capital outlay growth. We also incorporate some of the city's policies when we're looking at updating the financial management plan. So we're looking to stay within policy parameters for your general fund balance, which is 40 to 60% of your expenditures. We also layer in some placeholder assumptions for future staffing growth related to increase in services and a growing population. So in the model, we're layering in additional IT, public safety, and public works staff. And the model also assumes that the $3.5 million public safety project is approved, utilizing $1 million of cash for funding and the remaining being financed at a 15-year term and 4.26% interest. So for the assumptions on this slide, these assumptions apply to all three of the scenarios we'll talk about later. So these are our global assumptions. And I'm going to take a pause from the presentation here to pull up our model so you can take a look behind the curtain and see how the sausage is made a little bit. Let me see if I can figure out this out here. Okay.
You have to leave presentation mode from...
I did. I think okay. I stopped duplicating the display ones.
Oh. Again.
All right. Now we can see. All right. So it looks a little small. I'll zoom in a little bit. Here we go. So this is what our... Oh, what just happened? Let's try that again. All right. There we go. Take three. So this is what our financial management plan model looks like. And I'm going to give you a little bit of a lay of the land. So when we're looking at our financial model, we incorporate 3 years of historical actual. So you can see we have 23, 24, and 25 actual financial data. We have our 2026 budget. And then we have 10 years of projections that are based on those inflationary assumptions we just talked in the last slide. So we have our 1% inflation on non-tax revenues and interest, 3% on expenditures, et cetera. We set up the template to mirror your financial statements, so hopefully these look a little bit familiar. So you can see in this top section, we have the city's operating revenues. It's going to include things like your property taxes, your LGA, any fines or fees or charges for services, that kind of thing. Next, we have our operating expenses, and those are categorized at the department level. So you can see we have our general government, which is going to include things like your admin, city council, city clerk, those types of expenditures. We have public safety, fire EMS, community development, and so on. Next, we have some capital outlay expenditures flowing into the model. And then any non-operating revenues and expenditures, as well as those placeholder assumptions for future staff growth right here in the model. So you can see we're layering in the IT staff in 2030. We have some PD staff in 2028, 2030, 2033, and public works staff. Just keep in mind, this is a flexible tool. We're not saying because it's in the model in these years, you have to do these things in these years. We can change these things as council sees fit and as conditions change. So, all right, then we calculate the ending fund balance for the fund, and we measure that against what the city outlines in policy as what they should have in the fund for ending unassigned fund balance. So you can see on row 58 here is our ending fund balance calculation, and then the line directly below that is the calculation based on fund balance percentage. So you can see for the projected years, we are within that 40 to 60% range, targeting a 42 to 43% fund balance based on staff direction. The next part of the model incorporates the different levy components in the model. So we have our general fund, operating tax levy. Next, we have the existing debt service levies. These are going to be based on your existing debt and those debt schedules. We have future anticipated debt based on your capital improvement plan and projects identified in the capital improvement plan that need financing. And then we have our EDA and HRA special levies flowing into the model. One thing that I will note is that each of these different levy components, so each line item that you see, is linked to another tab where we do a similar analysis in those funds just on a separate tab. So each debt service levy you see here is linked to a corresponding debt service fund where we do an analysis of the revenues and expenditures in those funds. All right, so moving to the very bottom, we calculate, so we add all those levies up, we calculate our net levy to our taxpayers, and then we have the existing tax base flowing in there that has a 1% annual inflation assumption. We add in any new tax base based on growth for the city. So you can see in 2027 and 2028, we have a little bit of tax capacity coming online related to some housing projects in the city. And then we have a calculation for the tax rate. And then we have a calculation for what that tax rate means for your median value home. So in Belle Plaine, the median value home is $328,000. And so you can see the city portion of their taxes related to all these inputs in the model. And then at the very, very bottom, we just have the year-over-year differential of the increase in those taxes, increase or decrease. All right. Before I jump back to the presentation, did we have any questions or comments on the model itself?
If I could just add one thing. On these anticipated tax capacity growth and those items, we're estimating low because we want to know what's the worst, you know, like we don't want to skew it to be too positive. We want to have you guys know the decision, to make the decision based on hopefully it's better than this, but we're estimating low so that we have that room.
Okay. And I see in columns R and S with the incremental tax capacity coming in, is any of that from Hickory Grove apartment complex? Do we know?
2020, see, so that took our taxes on two of the buildings should be 2027. I think that all four should be 2028.
Did you have a chance to look at Hickory Grove?
Yeah.
What was that development?
If I'm remembering correctly, for one of the buildings, the capacity has already been added to the tax base in 26, and then there was an incremental amount added for 27.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So all four are anticipated to be on 28 or 27?
I'll have to confirm that.
Okay.
I'm not remembering exactly.
Okay.
I'll get back to you on that.
I think it's 27.
Okay.
All right. Good question, though. All right. Jumping back over. Let's see where we left off.
There was no tip. Yeah.
All right. So we're going to take a look at some of those individual funds that we mentioned that are incorporated into the model. So we're going to start off with your EDA fund. So the EDA fund, the primary funding source in that fund is going to be your EDA levy. The city is currently levying the max amount allowed under statute for the EDA fund. In addition, there's some other small miscellaneous revenue and interest earnings flowing into that fund as a funding source. For fund outflows, the city has about $165,000 of annual operating expenditures and then an annual $10,000 transfer out for local grant funding. So as you can see in the bar graph there, we have a bar graph that maps out the fund balance projection in the fund based on those 2026 actual numbers and then incorporating those inflation assumptions. And you can see that the fund is balanced and maintains a stable fund balance over the duration of the projection. All right, next up we have the HRA fund. So the primary funding source for this fund is going to be a $10,000 levy, annual levy, excuse me. The activity in this fund, so there is a mirroring $10,000 annual operating expenditure in the fund. And then we did also add in the 2027, the $20,000 first-time homebuyer program approved expenditure. So when we're looking at the fund balance graph over time, you can see there's a little dip in 27 correlating to that one-time expenditure, and it holds relatively stable throughout the projection model with a slight decrease towards the end of the model. All right, next up is the park dedication fund. So historically in this fund has been, the primary funding source for this fund has been an annual property tax levy. In 2026, the city opted to not levy for this fund. For the purposes of the FMP, we did model that we're adding that annual levy back into the fund at $20,000 a year. We have modeled into the fund $20,000 a year of annual capital projects based on the city's CIP. In addition to, in 26, we have a one-time $25,000 expenditure related to the Meadow Park dugouts project. So looking at the fund balance projections, you can see that slight dip related to that one-time expenditure. And then the fund balance maintains relatively stable over time with a slight decrease towards the end, just with the understanding that the city won't necessarily have consistent projects every single year. So it's likely that the fund will perform better than that.
Can I ask a question on this one?
Sure.
I was under the impression that our park fund balance was closer to 100,000. Is that incorrect, or am I not putting something together?
It's dedicated to various things. The money's there, but it's like 150,000 goes to this, 100,000 is set aside for trails and so on. So the total's there. But.
Got it. Okay. That answers my question then.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Hartman.
All right, so next we're going to get into our three different capital scenarios that the city asked Ehlers to prepare. So for scenario one, we're dubbing this the status quo scenario. So this is if the city keeps doing exactly what it's doing today. We have our current CIP modeled into the scenario, and we assume that we're cash funding for capital equipment just like it has been doing. Our scenario two is what we're calling the modified streets CIP scenario. So under the scenario, the city wanted to know, instead of doing annual street reconstruction projects, what would it look like if we accelerated all those into 2027 and 2028? What does that do to our tax rate and debt levy and impacts on our median home over time? And then our third scenario, we're calling the equipment certificate scenario. So this is based off of scenario one, the status quo. So we're using the current CIP with the regular cadence of street projects. However, we are layering in the strategic use of equipment certificates to pay for larger capital equipment purchases and see how that impacts the scenario. All right, so scenario one assumptions. So these are assumptions in addition to the ones we already looked at, but specific to scenario one, our status quo. So like I said, it includes our current 10-year capital improvement plan. So we're looking at $26 million of capital equipment and other projects, $31 million of streets capital projects, and $240,000 of trail capital projects over that 10-year period. For full transparency, we did include some placeholder projects in the out years that is baked into those totals. So it's pretty common for communities to not have years 9 and 10 entirely ironed out in their CIP. So anywhere where we saw gaps or lower expenditure years, we added a placeholder to bring it up to like the historical average spend for that fund. In terms of financing, we're assuming that street projects are assessed in accordance with the CIP and city policy, as well as bonds being issued at between 10 and 15 year terms and 3.8 to 4.26% interest rates, depending on the timing and type of project or equipment being financed. So looking at the impacts of this scenario on a median value home, you can see in 2027, that we have a larger increase in 27 related to some debt levies that are coming online. This is universal across all three scenarios, so it's not related to this specific scenario. And then in 2028 and forward, you can see it leveling out with the average increase in scenario one being about $156 per year. Our scenario two, so our modified street CIP, so this is including that same $26 million in capital equipment. We have a revised streets capital cost of about $25 million, and so that is accelerating all those annual reconstruction projects, but also adding in an additional $500,000 to $750,000 a year after that of maintenance projects for the streets. And then it also includes that $240,000 of trail capital projects over the 10-year period, again, utilizing placeholders and outyears. Financing looks a little bit different, so assessment assumptions are the same as the previous scenario. Future bonds in this scenario are issued between 10, 15, and 20-year terms. Now that we have that larger bonding amount for that street project, it's spread across a longer term at 3.8 to 4.75% rate, depending on the project or equipment being financed. All right, so in this scenario, you can see the increased trajectory over the next 5 years looks a little bit different. So we still have that higher year in 2027. Like I said, that's pretty constant throughout all the scenarios. Then we have a second higher year in 2028 related to that higher debt levy coming online for that condensed street project cadence. You can see after that, it takes a little bit of a nosedive there and remains relatively lower. Looking at the five-year average in this scenario, it's an impact of $138 a year. All right, lastly but not least, we have our equipment certificate scenario. So this scenario includes the same capital assumptions as our scenario one, but then it assumes that we're going to utilize equipment certificates strategically for larger capital equipment. And so when we're identifying larger capital equipment, we're thinking fire trucks and snow plows and things that are a higher dollar amount items. And we're really looking at stuff $400,000 and above in purchase price. And then for financing for this scenario, we're looking at 10 and 15 year terms at 3.8 and 4.26% interest. All right, so under this scenario, you can see in 2027 that it's a little bit reduced compared to the other two scenarios, and that's just with being able to spread some of those equipment costs over time as opposed to needing the cash all up front. But then the years after that, the next 4 years, are slightly higher due to the addition of the debt levies, and then a higher year in 2031 due to, I believe that's a fire truck equipment purchase debt levy coming online. So the average for this scenario over the 5 years is $148 increase a year. All right. So we thought it would be important to bring all those things together so you could do a direct apples-to-apples comparison among the scenarios instead of being spread out between all the slides. So on this slide, we have our debt levy comparison. Looking at the slide, so our scenario one is going to be the blue line. Our scenario two is going to be that red-orange color line. And our scenario three is going to be the green line. You can see with scenario two that the debt levy is higher in the short term with that streets debt service coming online, and then ends up in the middle of the road in the long term. And then for our scenario three, our green line, it starts out pretty on par with our scenario one, but then increases and it ends up being the highest once we start layering on all that debt service from those equipment certificates. And then finally, our lowest over the duration is going to be our scenario one. Next, looking at the impacts on tax rate. So this chart follows a similar trajectory. You can see our scenario two is a little bit higher in the near term with that larger debt service coming online, but ends up the lowest in the long run. Our scenario three starts a little bit lower, but then ends up in the middle of the road, and our scenario one ends up kind of in the middle at the beginning and then ends up slightly higher. I'll note that the spread that we're coming up with between these three scenarios, high end and low end, is about a 2% difference at the end of the model. So. And finally, this slide, we have an apples to apples comparison just on the tax impacts for our median value home, so that $328,000 home in the city. So we have what the 26 increase was, and then 27 for comparison. So you can see that in 27, our scenario three is a little bit less than the other scenarios. In 2028, you can see scenario two is quite a bit higher with that increased debt service coming online. And then overall, our scenario three ends up a little bit higher at the end. So when we're looking at the averages, again, scenario one, we have $156 a year, scenario two, $138 a year, and scenario three, $148 a year. All right, do we have any questions or comments on anything that was presented?
All right, thank you very much. In your opinion, why would we not do scenario two?
It is the lowest scenario, so financially it makes sense on the engineering and public works side. I know doing a large amount of projects in 1 year can be a lot to manage, so I guess I would defer to the engineers and public works team on if they think that was something that would be in the best interest.
Perfect. I kind of have an opinion on that as well. I think, I guess first a question. Is all of this based on an assumption of very small growth, annual growth to our total tax base?
Yes, we assume a 1% growth.
So to answer your question, I think we have the opportunity, if we are able to get some successful projects off the ground that start to build a strong tax base, you could, I mean, it's betting, right? It's nothing guaranteed. But you could push some of the spend back, anticipating more tax base being able to support it. What would be the benefit, in your opinion, of paying for all the street projects in 2027 and 2028? Was that a conversation that I was part of? I don't remember that.
The conversation during one of our capital reviews of finance ways and means of, we know in today's dollars it's X amount,
yep.
And putting it off, we used to say we're 7 years away from being done with all the reconstructs. Now we're 10 to 12 years away because we have to keep making the projects smaller to fit within the amounts we have planned to spend annually. So it's taking us longer to get there.
That's because of the inflationary cost on construction.
Yep. So the question was posed, what if we just did them all now?
Yeah, okay.
So that was why we asked for that scenario to be presented.
Yeah, okay.
So this also has the assumption that we're going to bond 15 years on the police department at 4.26. That's just the assumption that we're going to go with, because I know we've talked about several different funding ways of layering that and stuff like that. But this is just straight across, correct?
Yeah. For the purpose of doing the financial management plan, we just did it conventionally, straight up. It's an equal amount. Council always has the option, and when we talk about each individual project, and that is included with the street projects, I can't run you every possible scenario there is. But when you get to that project, should you choose to look at the financing with different options, you have different options in that financing plan. Those ultimately, when you make those decisions, will be fed back into this and update this, and it has impacts on all of that. It's very similar to this year already in your Finance, Ways and Means meetings. You've talked about you're removing a recreation position, correct? That reduction hasn't been put in here because we started with the 26 base, right? But you've already made some changes that you've asked for. So this will change solely on some of those items already when you actually get to the budgeting portion. We want you to understand what items we use to help you be able to make those decisions. Do we do this or do we do that?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Very good.
Yeah.
Of course.
Very good job.
Can you give us, so we've seen the financial management plan. Can we talk about what's next?
So the next thing you'll be moving into is budget process. So, Amy, do you want to give them an update on where you're at and what their expectations should be?
We've met with department heads. We are, for our first draft, we are entering that data this week. It should be entered. Department heads then will be looking at it, reviewing it again, seeing if they can make changes. And then it will be coming forward to you either the first or second meeting of August or your next Finance, Ways, and Means meeting, possibly. We'll have some rough drafts, too, to start looking at. The county, it's still a little early. I have to get information for them for impacts. That is our next step, and it's coming fast, and you'll have that information within probably a month.
Amy, they also had requested impacts about payroll.
Yes. So,
and
last,
that's part of the budgeting process. So,
in the minutes, if you had time to review those, council asked for if we did no COLA to non-union employees. Remember, union employees are already decided. So, in the 101, the general fund budget, which is what we use for the levy, the estimated difference is $67,148 in wages. And then when we account for para and the employer taxes, it's a total of $80,603. So this would be no COLA for council, firefighters, aquatic staff, and seasonal wages. Out of the 37 full-time employees, 20 are union, so it would not affect 20 employees. And non-union employees are 17. 5 non-union employees would get a step increases versus 12 non-union employees are at the top of the scale. So that is the information, and we can certainly email that out to you, too, if you'd like that to review later, too. The only thing I did not do on this is just because it takes quite a bit of time, but I certainly can do it, is the pay equity, how that affects our pay equity. Last year during the budget cycle, I ran those numbers, and at that time it was 3 to 4 years where we would be out of compliance. I have not had a chance yet to do that this year, but I would assume it would be similar.
Will there be another point where we revisit the capital improvement plan at all in the process?
Absolutely. During the budget process, we walk through what staff is presenting to council, and the capital improvement plan is a part of that as well. So we will be going back to that.
Could I get a preliminary copy of that again so that I can come as prepared as possible to that discussion?
Certainly, yes. Department heads have already made a few changes to it, too. So I can give you that preliminary. I'll send it out to everyone for the preliminary copy.
All right, moving on to next meeting. I would like to see that. I don't want to wait for the work session. I'd like to have a Finance, Ways, and Means meeting with the preliminary. She said that it could happen in the first meeting or two in August. I'd rather have it at a separate, I don't want it the first time that we're seeing it to be at a work session. I'd rather have it like at this.
Right. So it would be a Finance, Ways and Means, and you can either do it before a council meeting or in the midst of the week, we can pick a day. Were you speaking more to that when you'll be prepared?
Yes. And to me, a work session is my Finance, Ways, and Means Committee. So sorry I used that word, but I meant Finance, Ways, and Means. Yes, so we could have it in between. It might be a little rush to get it for the first meeting in Oz. That's 2 weeks, right? There's not another week in there, is there, this month? 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So probably the week after the budget, just so we have time to review and have the correct information.
So you'd be looking at the week of August 10th? If you want to pick a time to schedule a Finance, Ways, and Means.
Do you guys want to do it the week in between the meetings, or do you want to just wait and do it the second meeting? And
I wouldn't mind the extra time to let it sink in. I'll do it in between. Give me a whole week to really analyze it. How many did I get today? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 7 yet.
Yep.
PDFs that we all received today.
So that was a request of information by a council member. You know my rule, one asks, everybody receives.
Which is great.
So that request came in on Friday, and we did try to get it out as soon as possible. There's a few other requests that'll be coming, but there was no way we could get to it today before this meeting.
Yeah. That's all I'm saying. It would have been great to have this. Maybe whoever requested it, thank you. Go to review this through the weekend and come to this meeting, because I was trying to read these and there's no key on one of them, and it's color coded, but there's not a key, so I'm like, okay.
Oh,
looks like a rainbow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so do you want to schedule the week of August 10th then?
Yeah, sorry, I'm just trying to pull it up.
Yep.
Is that a big day?
Some.
Not for some of us.
Just one.
I mean, we can look at two. So the week of the 3rd, but maybe later in the week?
Yeah, that's possible.
Maybe like Thursday or?
Yeah, when does voting start after the primary? Is that like?
After the primary.
Break?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, when's that?
So I think it's like
break.
September in the 20s of September.
Oh,
so
okay.
I don't want to say the wrong day, but it's like September 26th.
And preliminary is required by mid-ish September, like the 20th of September.
Okay, so 12th, 13th, 14th?
Of August.
Of August?
I'm going to be packed. I'm going to be gone.
How about August 6th?
That I can likely do.
Fine with me.
And in a worst case scenario, can I Teams in for that?
It'd be Zoom.
I'll have to move a number of other commitments.
Conference.
Thank you, Rex.
Yeah. What time? I think.
I'm in for the 6th.
Either beginning of the day or end of the day, if we can.
Like 3 o'clock, does 3 o'clock work?
4 o'clock.
I'll make 3 work if we have to.
August.
I'll prioritize it.
6.
3 o'clock.
Let's do this.
I'm excited.
Okay. August 6th, next meeting, 3 o'clock.
Would you?
Good, Renee.
Do you intend to just do the overview? Do you want to start going through it with department heads? What's your preference for that meeting? Just to get your eyes on it?
I would say overview and capital plan overview again, and then they can break down how they want to proceed through the budget for the rest of it. We'll just get them the prelim. We'll do the overview.
Okay. Perfect. I'm good with that. Everybody else good with that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Motion to adjourn.
All motion.
Second.
Motion made by T, seconded by Stacy. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, motion carries. See you in a couple hours.